I think it went along the lines of saying that childhood should be carefree, playing in the sun, and not living a nightmare in the darkness of the soul. And I think it captures really the conversation we're about to get into. Just last week, Save the Children South Africa appeared before Parliament to urge MPs to do more in order to fight violence against children. Statistics reveal that more than 2,600 children were murdered in the country over the last 3 years, and that makes up 5% of all murders. And furthermore, children were the victims in 41% of the just over 124,000 rapes reported in the same period. And these statistics are absolutely disturbing, at the very least, just absolutely disturbing, and they're frightening. And are likely to worsen when you think of the numerous crises when it comes to law enforcement agencies like the SAPS and the Hawks. And it is clear that without political will, the police will continue to fail in their mandate to ensure the reduction of the country's very unacceptably high levels of crime. And that we need to do more to protect our children. Now, there were findings as well that were released not too long ago by the Birth to 20 Plus study. Now, this study was conducted by the Department of Science and Technology and the National Research Foundation Center of Excellence in Human Development at Wits University. One of the horrifying results that came out of the study was the fact that 99% of children had witnessed violence or been victims of violence in this country. So only 1%, only one, a measly, paltry little 1% of children in our society from the sample that participated in this study had not been exposed to or experienced violence in the home, in the schools, or in our communities. So let's meet Professor Shanaz Matthews. She's the director. She was at the Cape Town Institute, Children's Institute at UCT, and she's also a researcher on this particular study, Birth to 20 Plus is what it's called. It is the largest and longest running study of child and adolescent health and development on this continent, and one of the few large-scale longitudinal studies in the world. They've been following these children since, the mid-90s? And they've been following them from 1990, and these children have been dubbed Mandela's children. So it is an incredibly rich study that we're looking at, and some of the insights that it reveals about the levels of violence in our society and exposure of violence to our children and the consequences thereof. Professor Matthews, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
You know, looking at these findings, because you tend to publish the findings from the study, the revelations from the study from over the years, you've done so. So this is the lived experience of children in South Africa. 99% have witnessed and have been exposed to violence.
I think, you know, Zania, the most important part of this particular study is that it has followed children up from birth in 1990.
Mm.
So, for 3 months in 1990, children were enrolled into the study, and they've been followed up for now 28 years.
Hmm.
And so we've learned a lot about these children's experiences over the years, and what we have done is to look at their exposure and experience of violence at given points in time over this period of time. So we were able to track their experiences, and it's really fascinating to see what this means for this group of children.
Absolutely. So the importance, I imagine it's very important to track this over a very long period of time and not for it to be just a slice in somebody's lifetime.
And I think the difference is that slicing, if you look at most studies, are only looking at that point of time when they ask children or adults about the experiences of childhood. And when you ask someone about their experiences, often what we as researchers call recall bias, where you don't remember everything and you don't remember it as accurately. But the value of the Birth to 20 study is that you're actually asking those questions at the time when the child has been experiencing it and over a period of time, and that allows you to see what the outcomes are as well. So if a child has experienced, for instance, corporal punishment in the home as a four-year-old, you can track long-term the effects, you know, and you can see And you're able to then see what the impact is of certain exposures and experiences.
Absolutely. We can then string a story together and see the impact of these various various experiences. So how are these incidents of exposure documented or captured? Because, as you said, this is from birth. So we're talking about very young children.
So, I mean, at birth, the mothers were enrolled into the study. So we collected data on mothers' own experiences as well. So whether she had experienced violence in her own life and during her pregnancy. When the child's very young, obviously you ask the mother questions. And during, particularly under five, questions around corporal punishment were asked. So whether the parent were using harsh physical punishment. And I think it's really important that, you know, you're also able to see then that there are different forms of violence that's more prevalent in different phases of a child's life.
That's interesting. We'll look at the types of violence. We will look at those because you've just mentioned corporal punishment. Mm-hmm. But this was, it began studying 3,273 babies. Mm-hmm. How big is this group now? And I know it was a sample from Soweto, which provides really a microscopic look at what is happening across the country.
Yeah, what has happened is that we've had, you know, obviously you lose some children over time.
Yeah.
We've been very good at keeping the majority of children in the study. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to remember that I wasn't involved in the study right at the start. Professor Linda Richter wasn't able to be with us today.
Yes.
She's the best person to tell you how they've been able to manage to keep these children in, but they've invested quite a bit of resources. And, you know, if we're looking at numbers of children, you know, at different waves, they've been able to keep in about 2,500 children in to the study, which is phenomenal.
Yes. So let's look at the findings then, especially the ones that you published with this particular cycle. You looked at six categories of violence that children have been exposed to.
Yes. That's correct. So we've looked. So what we've tried to do is to type the different forms of violence that children experience. And I think what we've done was to look at both experiences. So if you look at the forms of experiences of violence, we looked at exposure, firstly, of violence in the home. We looked at exposure of violence in school and in the community. And then we also looked at experience of violence, so own personal experience of physical violence as well as sexual violence. And then lastly, we also wanted to look at the perpetration of violence, the child's own perpetration of violence.
Yes, very curious about that, especially when this violence is carried out between children themselves.
Yeah.
But many will
tell
you that, you know, this is just part, especially when this violence, the corporal punishment within the home, when it's been meted out by guardians or parents, that this is part of their right as parents, and it's just a rite of passage, and it's a form of discipline. Why was it important to include it as a form of violence?
You know, and I think this has been the discourse that we have been having in communities. People are saying, but, you know, we have the right to beat our child, and forgetting the impact that has on a child. And you've got to remember, with a very young child, a child's not able to distinguish between what is, you know, just discipline or what is meant to be hurting them. And, you know, if you physically punish a child, they're not able to deal with the actual impact that has on them. And it has an impact on how the child develops and their cognitive ability and how they see punishment as well. And therefore, it becomes really important that we've got to separate out what and how we discipline, because physical punishment actually causes fear in that child rather than discipline.
Wow. So then they also internalize it as a means of resolving issues, or as a means of making someone responsive in the way you want to you.
And it is then about learned behavior, because what we do find in this particular study is that children who have been experiencing harsh physical punishment themselves are more likely to have aggressive behavior and also report more fighting with other young children, and as they go into school also get involved in more fights at school with their own peers, and that's their way of interaction and resolving conflict.
Mm. So let's look at the context. I want us to stay in the home because we're looking at corporal punishment and the consequences of this type of violence on the child. So the home is also an important context where this violence is exhibited, whether towards the child or where they witness it. What were you able to find that is happening in the home?
I think it's really critical that one understands that the conflict in the home in the form of domestic violence or conflict with others in the home has a direct impact on the child as well. And what we found is that actually more about half of children have had exposure to that kind of conflict in the home besides just experiencing corporal punishment. Now, you've got to remember that violence has a cumulative effect as well. So it's not just one experience, but another as well. And that then impacts on how the child experiences violence and what they learn about how to resolve conflict. And that's where you get that intergenerational driving of violence.
Now, what is the 1% doing correctly? What is happening in the homes of the 1%? That hasn't been exposed to violence?
Yeah, that's very difficult because it's what we are seeing is it's basically universal. Most children are experiencing either experiencing violence or have witnessed violence.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to shield a child from not experiencing violence if you don't have use of corporal punishment or have conflict in the home. It's very difficult to shield that child from violence in other settings, mm-hmm. like school or the community. Mm-hmm. If you're living in a community where violence is being, where it's happening on a daily basis. And here we're talking of different forms of violence, be it, gang violence, be it just, shootings in the community. The children are witnessing or hearing all the time.
Yes.
And it all has the same effect. And therefore, it is incredibly difficult to, even if you in the home are doing things right, to prevent the child from experiencing it outside the home.
Can't
live in a cocoon. Mm. So I'm not entirely sure what happened and why those 1% of children did not experience any form of violence, because what we are saying is that in a community like Soweto and the greater Johannesburg, violence are really all around the child.
Absolutely. I mean, you drive down the road and there's a cash and transit heist with a shootout in the middle
exactly.
of the day. You listen to a bulletin and you hear about babies being raped. So it is all around us. There's nowhere to hide, in fact.
And I think, the important thing about and the important message about this study isn't just about that children have experienced violence on these multiple levels, but also what the outcomes are. Because one of the important outcomes, if we start looking at what has the impact been, is that, what we are seeing is that large numbers of children, as you said, have experienced or been exposed. But the outcome also is that you are finding that young men, because we're looking at them as young people now, are actually taking on very violent forms of behavior as well, such as not just getting in altercations, but actually using guns, using knives, and actually getting into prison, about a third of young men. And that has important implications, because you might say to me, but two-thirds are not violent, but a third are. And I think that's really important. How do we reduce that? Because what then happens is that you have large numbers of themselves taking on violent behavior with their own children and their own partners.
Yes. Mm. Well, Prof, we need to take a break. My guest is Professor Shanaz Matthews. She's the director of the Children's Institute at the University of Cape Town. And she was also a researcher on this study, one of a few of large-scale longitudinal studies in the world. It is certainly the biggest on this continent. They began studying the lives of 3,273 babies in Soweto in early 1990. So it's 28 years. That's how long long the study has been running for, and some of the revelations that it's revealed are just shocking about the level of violence that our children are exposed to in our society. But they track more than that. They track the child's growth, including their health, their educational performance, social functioning, and of course their experience and exposure to violence. We'll take your calls, especially as you reflect on the level of violence that our children are exposed to. 99% of children in our society have witnessed violence or have been a victim. 011-883-0702, 31702.